Well, in a game that sure felt like must win for October, the Boston Bruins find themselves on the winning side of things with a 3-2 shootout victory over the previously undefeated Florida Panthers, who I think will still say, like, holy shit, that was still good. We'll take that point. As they played without a few players in the lineup, the Bruins still played without a few players, but overall, the Bruins do a lot of things well and get the victory. Welcome you into Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor, post-game show after the Bruins' victory. Razor, it was, when we say must win, I know that that can be an exaggeration, a hyperbole, whatever adjective you want to use to describe it, but the truth of the matter is it's a feel thing. That's what it is. Coming off of those two games, one in Carolina, one in Florida, where the Bruins just didn't, they just didn't have much of anything, quite honestly, except for that first period in Florida. And I know some people say, well, they played a good game in Carolina, right? They played a good game, but they still didn't have it. Didn't it feel like they had it on Saturday night?
Yeah, and I think that's the must part of it, is that they had to show that they can play and score. They didn't score a whole lot, but they scored enough, and they scored in the timely manner. They were down, and they scored that late one that we're used to seeing the Bruins score. Scored late in the first period, which we're used to scoring, seeing them score. So yeah, certainly the must win is like you said, hyperbole, but at the same time, for a team that wants to compete, that we expect to compete in the Eastern Conference, it felt like was one of those games. They don't play Florida for 6 months. They don't play till the end of April. So this was the last measuring stick that you're going to have against the best team in the conference, and they passed it with flying colors.
Schedule really does suck this year. It really sucks. I mean, between having 10 days off to start the season and then a couple of other days, and now you play this game, and now you have a 4-day break, which, while I understand it's nice, I think they'd like to get back playing a game on Tuesday, you know, and then like 10 days from now, or maybe it's a little longer than that, right? I know. They've got 5 days off in mid-November.
It really does, and it's going to feel like that all the way through the Olympic break when they end up getting 3 weeks off and everyone's staring at each other, and then they're going to have a massive race at the end. So it does suck. It would be nice to see them keep playing, get a bunch of games in like some of these other teams are, but that also adds to the must-win part of this. Is some of these games, even though they're only six games in, everyone else is 10, 11, 12 games in, it's human nature to look at the standings. And when you're at the bottom, even though it's six games and you have games in hand, et cetera, those games in hand are coming in fast, furious bunches in March and April. And you want to bank points. And we talk about it all the time, banking points, banking games.
Yeah. So they get this. And I do think that the league, you know, was watching to see, you know, what the Bruins would do, how they would respond. I understand people are busy with their own teams, et cetera, but you know what I mean? This was a quick turnaround against a rematch of sorts, you know, against Florida. So what would they do? It was a highly entertaining game for late October. I thought very, very entertaining. I thought it had a lot of everything. And I think, you know, who knows where this team ends up, obviously, but in general, I think for now, they've got to feel good because they showed up. You said it, they scored late, but then they also scored on the power play, which they needed to. They didn't, you know, there was a little bend, but there wasn't break. Linus Ullmark was very good. Why don't we start there? I know that, you know, he's really happy with the win. He said after the game, he was kind of rosy about it. You know, he's a very chipper type of guy. You know, the hockey game is very nice. You know, I'm having fun with him. I'm not making fun. And he had to have been thrilled to do that at home.
Yeah, there's no question. You could see it meant a lot to him at the end of the shootout and swatting the puck. He knows. I think he does get it. And I think he's going to be demure at times. He's going to randomly come up with stuff sometimes because of language and the Swedish culture. They just say things. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, I think he understands that. And it seemed to me, watching the way he played tonight, that he understood that tonight was a big game for his teammates, for his coaching staff. Listen, I mean, Bruce has kind of gone after him after every game. over one goal here, one goal there. And I'm sure he's heard that. And I'm sure he gets the current of it. And this Swayman kid is like the fancy toy. And I think it was a big win for him. And I think he felt that. And I think he wanted to prove that to everybody. He's going up against another young kid, that a great team, and Spencer Knight in Boston and the whole thing. Yep. It's, you know, I think it meant a lot to him. I do.
I think you can tell by the celebration, you know, not after the winning the shootout, stopping Tippett, and then coming out and giving a little more. And then I thought the big hug with Swayman was very, it was cool. And I thought it was, you know, important too. And I thought it was genuine.
I agree.
I saw it. It was
those guys are, they're doing the new age goalie. Like when I played the other goalie didn't talk to, you know, like when I was the young kid, Byron Defoe wasn't excited to have me around, or like the old guy didn't really want you around. It was competition. I think nowadays the goalie union is strong as ever. And I think certainly in Boston, they recognize it. There's a very, 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 very good chance these two guys are going to be the two guys for the next 2-3 years. And they're mm-hmm. getting along and competing, but understand also that they're not going anywhere. So let's have fun together.
Yeah, they genuinely probably need each other too. Well, they definitely need each other right now.
Every win is a big deal for the other guy right now. Takes pressure off each of them.
Yeah. 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 And until one of them, you know, grabs the crease regularly, which who knows if it's going to happen. It might, but they need each other right now. So that was good to see. What also was good to see was the performances by a few players, in no particular order. Charlie Coyle, who had a goal and then the shootout winner. Taylor Hall, who had was a multi-point game. He had two assists and was much more involved, was, I don't know if he was driving the line. I mean, he was very involved, though, put it that way. You know, doing things that, you know, puck retrievals, winning battles, etc. So that was great. Craig Smith coming back into the lineup. I thought he had a nice game in the sense of, you know, he was involved. He was able to handle moving up to the top line for the second and third period. And so that was good to see him make it through the game physically in there. And I thought a few guys, I mean, look, Charlie McAvoy scoring on a power play, huge. Now it's not a power play from the point shot, which I think we all want to see, but it was still a power play goal. So I thought those guys were enormous. We'll start with Charlie Coyle. We talk a lot about the pressure that was on Jake DeBrusque this year, but Charlie Coyle was the other player that had a lot of pressure on him. And I don't want to say so far A+, but I will say so far I'm giving him a B+. I'm going to give him a B+ for where he's at. And granted, he's played right wing a fair amount too, but he's shooting more. He's doing more. And because he's involved.
To your point, I'll probably give him an A as a centerman. I think moving over to the right and Stanek, doesn't feel the same way. It isn't. And Jack's great and he's moving, but mm-hmm. but Coyle, Hall, Pasternak / Smith is how that line is gonna do its mm-hmm. best. The second line looks the best, and there's a ton of pressure. I feel like I was looking at Charlie Coyle even more than DeBrusque in this season, and he has to step up. He's getting big bucks. And you know those expectations to drive that, and he's fulfilling those. And in a game like this tonight, again, they beat the Florida Panthers, the best team in the league, without their top line playing great 5-on-5. So everyone can talk about depth, and everyone looks at it like, oh, it's always the top line, it's always the top. Well, this wasn't the case in this game. I didn't see that in any way whatsoever. The top line had to move players around, and it was Charlie Coyle and Taylor Hall that really picked up the slack.
Charlie Coyle ended up playing 1933 with the goal. He had two shots on net, four total attempts, a couple of hits, 10 for 16 in the faceoff circle. Played more minutes than Patrice Bergeron did, who played 17-48. Eric Haula, the other center, played 1701. And then your fourth line center, Tomasz Nosek, played 1136.
That's pretty good down the middle.
That's a big game.
Pretty good down the middle. It's a big game. Right?
Yeah. 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 It was a big, it's a big game for Charlie Coyle. A big game for Taylor Hall, who played 1823. He had three shots on goal, a couple of assists. You pointed out the puck retrieval on the power play goal. Huge. As he was able to, he accelerated really quickly from the front of the net to get to the puck behind the net. And the hard rim around, not stopping and holding, just moving it immediately, allowed the Bruins to regain control of the puck and get it set into an opportunity where Marchand could do his magic.
And we talked about it. I think that's where he's going to get better at that. And I think that's where he can really add to that power play once they figure out how they all work. And I think that was a good example of Nick Ritchie's not getting behind the net the same way Taylor Hall is to get a backhand around the boards. Nick Ritchie does other things well. They just need to figure out exactly how each piece of that cog works. But I think it was a good example of how it can look once they get going a little bit, having the skill and the talent those guys can put together on the power play.
So what do you think? What do we think of the change made after the first period? Pastrnak to the Coyle line, Craig Smith moving up to the Bergeron line. It ended up that David Pastrnak played more than any other forward time on ice. He played 21-32 overall. And what I'm trying to get to is played 7-15 in the first, 6-20 in the second, 5-32 in the third, and then he played 2-13 of overtime. 21-20, sorry, was his total. So in the one hand, he played a ton in the first, right? He played less the second and third, but on the other hand, yet Bruce still played a ton of it. Was it to prod him, or was it just to say to, you know, I mean, Coyle scored the goal later in the first period, but I guess the question is, what was the message there? Was it for the team or was it for Pastrnak?
It's got to be for Pastrnak. That's the first line wasn't very good. I mean, they didn't have much going on in the first period, so it's a pretty easy time for him to do that. But I would imagine at the end of the day, when you're dropping David off of that line, I feel like it's always to prod him. You want to get everybody's attention, and that's kind of the easiest way to do it. But what do you think? And do you think that there is an opportunity, or do you think there's a chance that they actually stick with this? Do you think that they will do this for exactly?
History says no,
but
history says no, but right. Mm-hmm. Does it make them a harder team or a better team? So a harder team to play against, aka a better team. What do I think? I do think it was more of a move to get David Pastrnak's attention and to say, okay, you don't want to play the way we want you to play. You're passing up shots, or you're doing this, or you're doing that, and turning the puck over. Well, you know what? Fine, I'm gonna then split you guys up. And I got to imagine that. Look, I think it worked for Craig Smith in the sense he had energy. I do think it worked for David Pastrnak. Was he still great Pasta? No, but was he a little bit better? Yeah. I'd like to actually see them go with it against Detroit on Thursday night. I would. I'd like to see him go with that, because you know what you say? Listen, you're playing a team that is going to be full of, PNV. They're young. They're young bucks, etc. But you know what? Let's start with this. Let's show them some good balance. I don't think that they will, though, by the way. I think that Bruce is going to go back to the top line and say, here's your next chance. Do it again there. I'd like to see it, though. But I was a proponent. I was a big proponent of Pastrnak and Krejci for an extended period of time. I think you were, too. I was talking about give it three games. Give it three games. And Bruce wouldn't do it. It doesn't seem to be what he...
Yeah, and do you think maybe an 82-game season changes that rather than the 56? They had a bit of a sprint last year. My other question is does David need it over not just a period or two at this point? He's not giving much right now. And does he need...
I agree.
A little, and it's not even just a change of scenery. Maybe let him push a line a little bit rather than always waiting on the other two guys. Maybe let him go. Let him go wind it up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what you don't want is you don't want the other guys deferring. I don't see Taylor Hall going to defer to him.
He's going to pick the pace up for David, but, too, you know, isn't he? If he's out there on the other side, will Hall push him, right?
Well, you hope so. You hope so. You do hope so. I don't want Charlie Coyle to defer at all. I don't. And that doesn't mean I don't want him passing. But as we talked about in the pregame, he's averaging over two shots on goal per game. He's only done that, it's really technically once in his career. I gave him twice because there was another time where it was like 1.98 per season. And it's no coincidence that when he hits high point totals, it's when he averages two plus shots on goal per game. So he has to continue doing that. Now, with all that said, he can still be a really big body, can own the puck, and then he can get it over to Pastrnak. I do think it's good. And because it's an 82-game season, I think it's a good question, a valid point that you make there too, bud. Why not try it for a couple of games? I mean, at least one more. You know, you can always put back. You can always reunite Bergeron, Marchand, and Pastrnak, and they're going to have instant chemistry.
The heart grows fonder.
And maybe they'll be better chemistry than what we've seen. It does. Yes, it does. The heart grows fonder, reunited, and it feels so good, all those things. I'm with you, bud, but I got to – I don't know. Yeah, again, if history is any indicator that they'll be back together at practice.
Are they really?
Practicing Sunday, I believe.
Maybe they'll give them
you know what? I saw that
Sunday and then a big Halloween blowout Sunday night. That's old school.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, I'm thinking of probably about that is old school. I would think that they're going to have a party on Sunday.
Good shindig. Good Sunday night.
So,
Halloween parties are the best in the NHL. Oh my NHLers, God. The Halloween parties are by far the best parties that we have all season long.
Yeah. Why?
The big thing is why you have rush. Of the October starts and you have new players. So that's the first time everyone gets to really meet the wives and everyone's together. So people drink just because they're uncomfortable a little bit. So you have a few more drinks that way. And then on top of it, you're dressed up.
Wonderful.
And it's always at the All-Stars house. So he's got it catered. You got the bar. You got free booze everywhere. It just it always was the best. I miss it so much. That's like the best night of the year. And my wife and I talk about our Halloween parties more than we talk about anything else that happened when I played.
It's amazing how much
it's effort a big deal.
Goes into
it's a
the
big
costumes
deal.
For NHL. And the last decade, it has gotten even more extravagant.
Yeah, the young guys have so much money
now. Who can outdo the other?
Blow it. I mean, we just put like glasses on and just stood at the bar all night. Hal Gill dressed up as a pinata and just we beat him as a pinata by the end of the night.
I know. If it's crazy how much effort goes into it. But I guess I understand. It's also because, as you said, early part of the year, everybody's still in a good mood.
Exactly.
Nobody's tired of each other.
It's the first time you get to really get together.
It's fun.
There's a rookie party at some point down the road, but this is the first. And the wives bring a big thing to it, that in a good way, that they get together for the first time. There's a lot of wives that are new and the girlfriends and they all get together. It's so much fun. The Halloween parties are the best. So everyone's seeing the pictures. And if you go on Instagram or wherever you go, like they're out there, but it is like exciting for the players. It's so much fun.
You can't tell me though, the conversations that were had after the Halloween party, maybe not that night, but especially perhaps by the significant others. Who
you get a good read of the wife. You get a good read once you see who's dressed up as what, you know?
Did you see what that 21-year-old was
the
wearing?
The girlfriend's always a cheerleader. The wife with three kids at home is always the mummy.
Right. Yes. Yes. Oh, gosh.
It's great.
Oh, all right. Let's. I don't want to get myself or anybody else in trouble right now. So we'll steer back to hockey. All right. So as we talk about this team, the power play, something we talked about significantly in the pregame show, Nesson, not getting pucks through. They still struggled before they ended up scoring that power play goal. I think it took it 18 seconds on that third period one where McAvoy ended up scoring. Razor, this power play, it's so funny because it's been so good for so long. You know, we're talking top five, top seven, at minimum top 10, right? It doesn't look that way. Now, the Marchand pass to McAvoy looked great, but we haven't seen nearly enough of that. Are we in danger of seeing the Bruins fall out of the top 10 in power play efficiency?
I still don't think so, but it's also one of those things where the power plays that end up in the top three in the league, the penalty kills. I mean, the Bruins power play and penalty kill the last 3 years have been 1-2-3, 1-2-3. Like it's just automatic. It's right at the top. It's hard to catch up. As the season goes on, you get to 10 games. All right, that's 1/8 of the season. You get to 20 games. That's 25% of the season. If you're not in those top, if you're not in the top 10, let alone top 25, it's hard to chase those numbers. So it's one of those things that does sneak up on you where it doesn't go good. It doesn't go good. And that snowballs real quickly. So I think it was a big goal to score against them. I also think there might be more chum in the water when they start playing teams that don't have the same penalty kill that the Florida Panthers, the Carolina Hurricanes. It could also be the fact that they played four, five unbeaten teams in a row. It is a tough schedule that they've played. And that could go towards penalty kills being hot against a good power play. So it is a concern for me. It still is a concern because even though they scored tonight a big goal, but I feel like they get a benefit of the doubt for what, four more games, and then we're really going to start crushing them. Like if they don't score two power play goals against Detroit, Toronto, that gets concerning. They're also not drawing penalties. Yeah. Only three penalties again tonight. That's not a lot in this league. Now.
Well, and only the good news is I'll try and find the positive, only one time shorthanded. However, it took all of 6 seconds before Sasha Barkov scored the goal. Let's have a really super quick, because I got a few other things on this, super quick Sasha Barkov appreciation moment. He was magnificent in this game. He played 26 minutes in this game, 25:57 to be exact. He did have a couple of giveaways, but he also had four takeaways. He was just under 50% in the faceoff circle. Bruins did a nice job in the faceoff circle in general in this game. Really good in their own zone, getting pucks won and getting them out. That was a big, big thing in this game, I thought. But Barkov was at times dominant. I mean, for the second game back, you know, a two-game series, so to speak, you know, for last night Detroit, tonight Saturday night in Boston. Oh my God, was he an absolute beast. So was McKenzie. So was Weegar. And so was Ekblad. Their big boys played like big boys, but Barkov was, I thought,
outstanding. Oh, he's so great. And I mean, I said it to you in the first, I could watch that guy play hockey all day long. What a beast. What so long, so talented, so skilled. And then to look and see that he played 26 minutes on a back-to-back with travel in two overtime games. He scored the overtime winner last night. I'm going to bring up a question we haven't talked. What about the domination of the Florida Panthers and how bad the Bruins are in overtime? I got home, talked to my buddies, like, how bad did the Bruins get out-coached in overtime with Barkov and Huberdeau going over the boards every time someone was tired? Pasternak was out there. He got all his minutes in overtime. He was out there for like 4 minutes in overtime, stuck behind
2:13 overtime.
The Bruins in their overtime. Yeah. And I think they need to watch the video of how Florida played their overtime and really take a look at puck possession.
Yeah, I would agree. I was going to say the biggest key to me was how they tried to force a few plays. And all it takes is one bad force of a play, or average force of a play. There's so much open ice that the opponent picks it up and goes. We didn't see them reset like the Panthers did a few times. You have to be able to do that. The Bruins, a lot of times in the overtime, where it was like one against two, instead of, you know, bringing it back and making it at least 1-1 or try and create that odd man situation. I don't disagree that the overtime was not great for the Bruins. And it had after, I mean, they had a chance or two, yep, right? But then it was, it kind of had that feeling of, oh, hold on a second here. Uh-oh. And then, you know, they had to get through what, I don't remember what it was, 30 something, 40 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, where Florida was starting to, you know, ramp it around. Yeah. I listen, they need to be better at that. No question. I mean, Huberto and Barkov, Ekblad, Uyghur, they didn't have Bennett,
Lundell.
You know, they had Lundell.
He's
Lundell
legit, yeah, on the back end. He can rip.
He's another good player. Oh no, you're talking about Forsling.
That's what I mean. Forsling on the Forsling back end too. Lundell's the forward. Yeah. Forsling can rip it. Lundell's the forward. Yeah, the young kid.
Lundell was out, right? But Forsling, Forsling is Duncan Keith Light.
He is. You're right.
He is. That's what he is. His reads, his react, his lung capacity, his ability to
how he shoots
the puck,
it. Shoots it quick. Like it's like fast. It's not heavy. It's just fast. Yep. Everything's fast. He does. Good player.
Yeah. He played 40 minutes. He had 5 shots on goal, Gustav Forsling. He's been on a couple of teams, which is interesting, but the former head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks, of the Florida Panthers, was previously the head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks, Joel Quenneville. He knew Forsling from there. And so Forsling had an opportunity to watch Duncan Keith play. And I think he's very similar to that. A couple of other things. I thought that the fourth line for the Bruins was pretty good. And they all played 10 minutes. Actually, Frederick played over 11. Nosek played over 11. Carson Kuhlman played 10 and a half. Carson Kuhlman had 3 hits. Frederick had a hit. Nosek didn't, but Nosek had 3 shots on goal. I was okay. I liked it. And it felt like the right amount of time for them to be on the ice. So I think that's, you know, try and find that as a good
100%. And we'd be remiss not to use the word toggle at some point within this podcast. And the fact that they did not toggle the third and fourth line is a real positive thing, in my opinion. They kept they kept those three guys together, Kuhlman, Nosek, Frederick together. They kept Lazar with the third line. It was perfect. They got their minutes in. It obviously helps. Mm-hmm. Listen, it's going to help whenever there's only 5 penalties rather than 10 penalties in a game, because those three top guys are just going to take the minutes if they're on the power play, just the way it is. But it was a really good mix and a really good job by the fourth line to stay relevant and stay wanted.
Yeah, because Bruce would shorten it, especially and 4 days off in between
and
games.
Down to
even
one
if they're,
in the
you know,
third period at home ice, and there certainly could have been time that he shortened it, but he didn't, and it's because they played well.
Yeah, they did. So I was happy about that.
And on top of that, you don't have to worry about who's playing fourth line next game. The lineup stays the same. It's like, okay, let's move to the next game. Like where you're not talking about a Steen or a Bleed or, you know, does someone have to come in and give more energy? No, these guys brought energy. They can do it again.
So a good win, an important win. It's just game 7, but it gets you over 500. It gets you a good win against a team that is above you, but is also considered one of the top probably 4 in the National Hockey League. It's nice to have a really good game after a lot of the shit that's been going on and that we've been talking about. And it was nice, I guess, I was entertained. I was, you know, I think it takes a lot for us to be highly entertained, perhaps. And we do so many games and all that, and it's our job, but, you know, we both love hockey, and I was into it. I was highly entertained in this game. So I take that as a nice positive.
I didn't really look away for more than 20 seconds. It was a good pace. There was not many whistles, not many penalties. Everyone played hard. Good goalies at both ends. It was fun. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what you expect from top teams in the league, and what you expect from a Bruin game on Saturday night.
Yeah, fun to have there. Well, it's also fun. The fans were in a festive mood. A lot of people dressed up. You have a big Halloween?
Oh, we got Halloween. You got Halloween plans for sure. Or the what? The crew is pumped and ready. We got candy coming out of our ass. And yeah, it's going to be a big one. How about your crew?
Any Canadian?
No, no Canadian candy. But after our talk the other day in Amrish, my mom and dad are coming down next Friday, so they've got the candy duty for sure. Because my kids want Wonder Bars and Crispy; they want the whole thing. So,
okay, so Coffee Crisp, Wonder Bar, and Crispy Crunch. Crispy Crunch, very good. Again, I was a big one. I used to go up to Canada. I would just get Cadbury.
The caramel. I left that off the list, but it's definitely up there. The caramels are up there.
I'm a big 100 Grand fan, because I can only get that for some reason at
Halloween.
And
we talked about this. No, we didn't talk about it on the show, but my wife loves 100 Grands more than anything in the world. Like but she can't find them. But she will go through my kids' bags way more than I will. I'm not that crazy about candy. She will take every 100 grand. Like, it's automatic.
Take them, put them in the freezer. They are delicious. They are the best. We've got very early ice time on Sunday. Yeah. So I guess that's a trick and not a treat, but we're going to do that, get back onto the ice for an hour. And then I'm headed to the NHL Network for a couple of days. My wife and daughter had a little bit of a Halloween thing here on the house is decorated. They had a little fun, it looks like, decorating the house. So that should be fun for tomorrow for them. Actually, I'm not even sure what Julie is going as. Jake said that he was going as a crazy Boston, or no, is it a psycho Boston sports fan? He's got, you know, the old Freddy Krueger, or not Freddy Krueger, the Jason goalie mask. And then Brady, he's got Jersey, all sports teams. So he said, yeah, I'm going to be. Yeah, everything. He's got Pastrnak, Brady. He's got everything. He's got all five, including the Revs. He's got five teams. So he says, I'm going to go as a crazy or psycho Bruins Boston sports fan. I said, okay, it's creative.
Love it. So love it.
I like that.
And so he'll eat candy for 4 days that's and rot his teeth out.
Oh, my God. Yeah, my kids sneak candy all the time, too. Like, we find it
wrappers
somewhere.
Wrappers everywhere. Can you at least throw it out? I don't want the wrappers. Throw it out, right, knucklehead.
Right. And if you're going to bring it into your bathroom, especially, throw it out. I mean, Jesus. Just like, just eat it and go with it. All right, that wraps up this Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. We appreciate you taking time, folks, to listen. It was a fun game. Bruins win 3-2 in a shootout. They go to 4-3. The Florida Panthers fall to 8-0-1. Razor and I will be back after Thursday's game. We're having a couple of, not days off, but the Bruins have some time up. But we'll be back after Thursday's game. And when the Bruins play host to the Detroit Red Wings. Remember to find Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor wherever you like to get your podcast from, or go to nesson.com/podcast. We are there. We have paid all of our life savings for those advertisements on Nesson. So please, please visit us somewhere there. We appreciate it. That's going to wrap this one up. Everybody have a wonderful Halloween. It looks like the weather in the Boston area should be very good for it. I hope it's safe. I hope everybody is healthy. Have a wonderful day. But before that, as always, enjoy that coffee.